Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to quickly go into the word of God. Hallelujah. So I want you to bring out your Bibles and get ready for God's word. Amen. So our theme for the month of July is what? If you know it, shout it out loud, everyone.
Clean and free.
Everybody shout it out loud. You can project it. It's what? Clean and free. Everybody shout it. Clean and free. Clean and free. So, you know, as you reflect on the messages this month, whether in church or outside of church, as, you know, your own personal meditation, you know, spread that. Use that hashtag, clean and free, on Twitter. Use it on Facebook, just to touch more people as we minister. You can also put a link to the church messages, because all the links are online, to the services, our YouTube channel, the City Light channel. That's the YouTube.com/CityLight channel, one word. So people can, you can also share it as an evangelistic tool. Amen. Hallelujah. But most importantly, I want you to get into the flow, because for everyone, the theme that we have for the month, they are prophetic declarations from the Holy Spirit of what He intends to do. Amen. And so what God is speaking to us this month is that He's going to be freeing us, yes, from bondages.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that is a weight on you, you will be delivered from it this month.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us start by looking at Hebrews 12:22. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. A lot of things happen when we come to church. A lot of invisible things happen when we come to church. And you need to be sensitive to it, so that you can take it beyond church. The Bible says when we come to church, it says, this is what is happening. It says, you have come to Mount Zion. Everybody say Mount Zion. So even though this is the City Light Church, another name for the City Light Church is what? Everybody shout it out loud. So this is a mountain. It's a mountain. A mountain is an exalted place that is lifted up above every other thing. So when we come to church, we come to an exalted place that is lifted up. Mountains are so significant in the Old Testament, because you notice that when God appeared to people, He appeared on the mountain. So you hear about Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, you know, and all that. So there's it's an exalted place, and people just, they are around it. So when we come to church, we come to an exalted place. Amen.
Amen.
It's an exalted place. In other words, this is different from every other place. This is hallowed ground. This is holy ground. That anytime believers gather together, whether it is in GQs or just you're sitting down in a house, and you are gathered in the name of Christ, that place becomes exalted above every other place. So GQs, anytime there's a gathering of believers, it becomes an exalted place. It becomes a mountain. And there are things that happen on the mountains. If you study the Old Testament, things happen on the mountain. Jesus Christ, when He went to pray, even He said He would climb up the mountain to go pray. There was the Mount of Transfiguration. So you see all those mountains there. So, some supernatural things happen when we gather together. Some supernatural things are taking place right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some supernatural things are taking place right now.
Amen.
When you come together in the GQs, some supernatural things are taking place right now.
Amen.
You see, when the Bible talks about safety too, for example, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Many times when the Bible wants to talk about safety, it talks about mountain. You know, the mountain of his holiness. You know, the mountain, you know, he said he will lift me up to a rock that is higher than I am. What I'm overwhelmed. He will lift me up to what? A rock that is higher than what? Than I am. So, that mountain significance speaks of a place where you can run to when you don't know what to do, when things are not going well, or when you just have issues or things, you know, that are just contrary. When you run to the gathering of the believers, when you run to the church of the living God, you are lifted. Whether it's a GQ or, you know, small group, you are lifted up above that thing. And on that mountain, you can stand and release the will of God for your life. I want you guys to have an understanding. Church is not a social gathering. Thank God, that's just one of the side things that we meet people that we love, meet friends and all that. But that's not the purpose of church. Church is not a social gathering. Church is an exalted place where we come into. And when we come into that place, we are lifted up to a higher ground so that we can go and conquer. We can go and we can win. So, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord today and say,
On this mountain,
I'm expecting your hand.
I'm expecting
supernatural things
to take place
in my life.
Now,
so why does this happen? The Bible says that upon Mount Zion, before we get to that, go back to Hebrews 12:22. It said, you have come to Mount Zion. It says, it is the city to the heavenly Jerusalem. The city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Whenever we come to church, not only are we gathered as humans, there are a lot of angels that are gathered in this place. A lot of angels are gathered in this place. And for some people, God opens their eyes to see it. For example, I've seen Joshua, you know, told me, God opened his eyes and he saw an angel standing in this place. Mommy has told me many times, because she has the gift of vision. You know, she's told me many times that, you know, that when she comes to church, like when she arrives in church, like you were telling me, right, Ma? You know, when she arrives in church, she sees angels. Especially during the praise and worship time. He said they are there and all that. He says most time people are not even there. That they brought things and people are not even there to receive it. So they take it. There are angels who are gathered. Every time we come together. This is holy ground. And you know, God accomplishes what he does on the earth using angels. God delivers messages and delivers gifts using his angels. There are angels today for deliverance for you. There are angels to bring the answer to your prayers today. There are angels here to fight your battles. Some of the things you are going through, that is just natural. It's just one of those things that people go through. No. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. There are devils that come to destroy families. There are devils that come to hinder you from going forward. There are devils that have been assigned and their goal is to cause you to fall. Is to cause you to leave the presence of God. Is to cause your dreams never to be fulfilled. Is to cause his will never to be done in your life. They've been assigned. And sometimes we try to fight them with natural weapons. Not using the supernatural weapons that God has given us. There are many people in this place that ought to be beyond where they are right now. There are many people who have been struggling with things for years and they still keep on struggling. And like I said last week, there are some people who have made up their, who have said that, you know what, I can never be free from this thing. I'm going to take it to my grave. But the good news I have for you is that you don't have to take it to your grave. Because any weight that you have upon yourself will not allow you to fulfill the fullness of your destiny. It will not allow you to lay hold on everything that God has for you. And that's why Jesus Christ does not offer you to manage it. He offers you to be free from it. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. He came to set the captives free. He came to free us from every bondage. He came so that we can be clean and so that we can be free. Hallelujah. There are angels here. Thousands of angels in joyful assembly. They are rejoicing. We have come to the church of the firstborn. Let's go to verse 23. Verse 23 quickly. Hallelujah. It said, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect. So this gathering is more than what you can see physically. It's more than what you can see physically. So, but what I want you to note there is that in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the church was called Mount Zion. Was called Mount Zion. Because I want to show you some things in the Old Testament about Mount Zion. And then we're going to go from there. Hallelujah. In Psalm 84 verse 7. So since the church at Mount Zion, Psalm 84 verse 7, the Bible says that they go from strength to strength. Till each appears before God in what? In Zion. They go from what? They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Hallelujah. So there is what? There is strength. The KJV says they go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before what? Before God. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. So there's increased strength. There's a connection between Zion and what? An increased strength. Now, what happens to those without that connection to Zion? What would be the story? They go from what? From weakness to what? To weakness. So if you notice the believers that are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, they've lost their spiritual connection to Zion. Hallelujah. They've lost their spiritual connection to Zion. And that's why we encourage people, you've got to be there in the GQ, you've got to be there in the services, because that's part of how God increases your strength. I declare that today your strength is going to increase. The Bible says the youth will faint and the young men will utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. Oh, hallelujah. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and they will not be weary. And they will walk and they will not faint. You see, you need to know that you need constant exchange of strength. Now, what do we mean by exchange of strength? You see, that verse in Isaiah chapter 40 was using the eagle as an example. If you have ever studied the eagle, you will notice that the eagle has a time that is called its hibernating period. It hibernates. Amen. The eagle hibernates. So the eagle is known as a bird that soars. It's a majestic bird that soars, you know. I mean, when you want to talk about, greatness, you want to talk about winning, ruling, you use eagle. You know, the symbol of the United States, you know, the bald eagle, you know. You use eagles to represent that. It's symbolic of that. You know, you want to represent, you know, the ability to overcome challenges, to accomplish great things, to accomplish dreams. You use the eagle to represent that. But you know that the eagle, when it flies and flies and flies, then there's a season in the life of the eagle when the eagle stops its flight. And the eagle goes into a place where nobody knows is. And then it sheds all its wings. It sheds everything. And it's there. All wings are shed. When you look at it, it doesn't look as beautiful and as majestic as it looked outside. Its wings are gone. Everything is gone. And it's just there. It's there. And then it goes through that period for a time. And then suddenly new wings will come. And then the eagle will leave the place and go out again with renewed strength. So in Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible was using that symbolically. That it gives power to the weak. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. In other words, youthfulness and natural ability will carry you just so far. You will still fall down. Hallelujah. And young men will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, those who take time out of their quote and unquote busy schedule, those who take time to separate themselves, to hibernate, to be there in His presence, to get His word into themselves, to pray, to seek the Lord, to just be there, to wait for fresh instruction, to get their wings cut off and new wings given to them, they will renew their strength. The word in the Hebrew there means they will exchange their strength. They will exchange their little strength for greater strength. And then when they've exchanged their strength, they will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and they will not be weary. And they will walk and they will not faint. There is an exchange of strength that is available for you. There's an exchange of strength that is available for us. That is why you cannot live life just going, 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 going. If you just keep on going and going, you'll get to a point that the wings you've been using before, that have been carrying you, suddenly will be unable to handle the wind. The strength you have before will be unable to handle it. That is why, in the way God designed it, everyone must institute a Sabbath time, a Sabbath rest, a place in time where it's only you and God. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let us come aside to a deserted place just to rest, because there have been much coming and going. Whenever there's much coming and going, you lose your vitality. You lose that hump, that thing. That excitement about spiritual stuff, that excitement even about your vision, about your goal, you just lose it. And before you know it, when you've lost that fire, you know, when you are no longer on fire, when you don't have that thing, then every other thing can light on you. All the flies, you know, everything can be upon you, because there's a lethargic spirit that comes and rests on you when you have lost the fire. And so you find out that you are compromising everything. When you first start compromising it, you feel bad. But after a while, it just becomes normal. The word of God has not much meaning. You love Him. You want to do His will. You want to do His word, but you just find out that the word of God doesn't have that much meaning to you anymore. Church really doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Worship, it just doesn't mean anything. You want it to mean something, but it just doesn't mean anything to you anymore. The reason is because you have lost your strength. You need renewal of strength. When I went through completing my dissertation, I mean, for the first, you know, we went through a building project and we're doing that. And then just finishing my dissertation, I felt so drained. And then today, I was supposed to leave and go to East Africa and fly from this to that to come back in August. I canceled it. I said, I'm not in the States to be flying around anywhere at this time. And instead, I booked a place. I booked a conference for pastors right here in the United States. I'm soon going to be disappearing too, just to listen to other people and be among my friends as we listen to the word of God and get rejuvenated. I cut off every other thing this week just to be in God's presence. Just praying. Just seeking the Lord. Watching Southwest Believers Convention. Watching it in my office. Watching it live, getting rejuvenated, getting refired. Because we lose strength the more active we become. Especially when you start getting to the middle of the year. At the beginning of the year, there's an excitement. But when you start moving towards the middle of the year, people start losing their abilities. Listen, when you lose your strength, you start to lose the battle. You start to lose the war. The things that you will have been able to handle and kick out of your life, you find out that you can't do it anymore. because your strength is gone. But we thank God because in Zion there's renewal of what? Of strength. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Obadiah has only one chapter, verse 17. Obadiah 1 verse 17. It says, upon Mount Zion there shall be what? Everybody shout it out loud and say, there is deliverance here. No, you didn't shout it out loud. Say, there is deliverance. In this mountain where we are, there is deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You see, we usually reverse the order. We want to possess the possessions. Isn't that not true? We want the wealth. We want the accomplishments. All those promises in the Bible of the blessing of Abraham, and those things are real. Those things are true. And that's God's destiny for us, to possess these things. But there's an order in the way God works. There's an order in the way God works. There is deliverance, first of all, which leads to holiness. Everybody say holiness. Which leads to possession. There shall be deliverance. The word deliverance means to be set free, or deliver means to be set free. So deliverance is the act of setting free. Everybody say after me, say deliverance is what? The act of setting free. To be free. A woman has been carrying a baby for 9 months. And that baby has controlled her whole life. Eats everything she eats. She can't sleep, you know, the way she would really like to sleep. Affected her emotions, hormones are in, you know, different places and all that. And she's been carrying. And then, on that day, she gives birth. And then, people say, she has delivered. Amen. Although, like this, people, she has been delivered of a baby. Of a baby. You know, there was something that was on her, that was positive, good, that was on her, that was heavy and all that, was taken away. So you see, the woman now, you know, just, there's a sense of excitement that comes and all that, like she just got herself back. Amen. That's just an illustration of how the word deliver is used in the Hebrew. It's getting someone free of something. Amen. So, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. What God is saying is that in my church, in my place, my people, Jig, everywhere where my people are, there will be the anointing to be freed of every burden and every yoke. Everything that is on their necks. Everything that is bowing them down. Whether spiritual or physical, whether mental or emotional, whether from the past, from recent, whatever it is, there is an anointing to set them free. Amen. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus came to continue the same thing. Reading from Isaiah 61, he told us his manifesto. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he is the body, and he's the head of the body, we are his body. So that spirit was upon him when he was on earth physically. That spirit is still upon his body. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Somebody is being delivered from poverty in this place today. Poverty of spirit, poverty of soul, poverty in the body, which is sickness, and poverty in finances, you are being delivered. The lack of means to do what you are supposed to do in destiny, that is what is called poverty. And it is relative for everybody. Amen. You understand? Prosperity and poverty is in relation to your destiny. Amen. For somebody, they don't need money to buy the lands around this place. They don't need to bother. But I need to buy it because that is part of destiny. Do you get what I'm saying? So the prosperity or poverty is in relation to your destiny. So you cannot judge, you know, who is, you know, richer or who is not richer. But the fact is that God, Jesus said he has come to deliver you from whatever is stopping you, whatever is supposed to be your destiny that is not there right now, whatever is a want, whatever is a need that is not there right now. That poverty, that spirit of lack, that spirit of want. Bible, Jesus said the anointing is here to set you free. You can be free from it because the anointing to accomplish it is here. Tell somebody, my days of being broke are over. I didn't hear anybody say it. I only heard a few people say, my days of being broke are over. Say, my days of lack are over. My days of debt are over. Because of the anointing of God. In Isaiah chapter, you know, chapter 10, is it 10:27? Isaiah chapter 10, he said, in that day, the burden shall be taken away from your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He said, the burden shall be taken away from your shoulder. I prophesy over you that because of the anointing of God that is here right now, every burden upon your shoulder is going. Every yoke upon your neck is taken off, and the yoke is destroyed. The yoke is corroded. The word there means it will be corroded. Like iron can be corroded by acid. He said, by the anointing of God, that yoke is corroded from off your neck. In the name of Jesus, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed. So many of us are carrying things that we think that they are supposed to be permanent there. No, they were placed there by the devil. And today I set notice upon that devil. I command you to leave the people of God. Get off their affairs. Get off their families. Get off their finances. Get off their lives. Get out of this church. In the name of Jesus. I decree freedom over your life. Freedom for every marriage. Freedom for every man. Freedom for every woman. Freedom for every finance. I command your jobs to be released. I command your houses to be released. Freedom in Jesus' name, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. That's emotional. It's inside. There are people whose hearts are crushed because of the actions of men, because of the actions of women, because of circumstances. Their hearts are crushed. Jesus said, there's an anointing for your deliverance. Yeah. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The word captive, as you know, means to be captive means to be bound. Everybody say bound. Bound. Can I have somebody here? Mike, please come. To be bound. To be bound. To be bound. Now, how many things can you do when you are like this? There are many people who are living this way. And they try this and they try that. But it's as if there's something that just keeps holding them. There's just something, they can't explain it. They don't understand it. How come? What is happening to me? How come I just, when I'm just about to grasp it, it's like something pulls me back. How come I can't deal with this habit? How come I keep falling down in this thing? How come? Yeah. What happens is that there is a rope that is around you. And that rope needs
to be broken.
The Bible says, did not say that he will untie it. The Bible says he will destroy it. Now, I can't destroy this microphone. I wish I could, and I went to illustrate it to you. You know, but when Jesus Christ comes, what he does is that he cuts it. He said he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Now, what happens to him now? One second, one more. Hallelujah. What happens to him?
Free.
What can he do now? He can do what he needs to do because he's what? He's free. Thank you very much. He's free. Recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are bruised, those who are wounded inside. I mean, I've talked to some people before and they are deeply wounded. Some have been wounded from when they were young and that same wound continues to affect them even when they are old. There are women that cannot have sex with their husbands because they hate the sight of men. Because a man abused them when they were young. I'm talking about Christian women. And so whenever the man comes, the picture, they love the man, but the picture comes of that man that used to abuse them. There are those who can't trust people anymore because they trusted before. And they were betrayed. There are those who are bound by habits that they've been trying to break. They sincerely want to be free from it, but they just found themselves locked up inside of it. There are men within this church that are bound to pornography. There are those who are bound to masturbation, both men and women. There are people here who anger controls them. Anger controls them. Now, I told you last week that this is not a message of condemnation. Amen. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of freedom. But to be free, you have to be real. You have to be real. You have to be real. You cannot hide and be free. Cannot hide and be free. James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, begins, you know, gives us some of the, you know, the steps to freedom. And there's a very simple one, a very, very simple one. It's confess your trespasses to one another and pray one for another that you may be what? That you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess. The word confess there is a word that I remember when we mentioned in our leading light yesterday. I'm just talking about positive confession. We'll say, it's a confession time. You know, so that word. But the word simply means admit what is there. Someone say admit what is there. Whether it is something positive like the confession of the word that this is what God has done, you confess it. If it's something negative that has been holding you down, say admit. The exit for sin in your life is through your mouth. Everybody say after me. Say the exit for sin in your life is what? Is through your mouth. That's where it comes from. And that's why one of the greatest battles you can fight, you will fight, is that battle to open up and talk. The devil will bind you. He will immobilize you. You cannot talk until you admit that there is a sin. Until you admit that there is something that is binding you, there's something that is holding you down. Until you admit it, you have not taken the first step to freedom. The first step to freedom is to admit that something is wrong. I'm not saying you admit it to the whole church. Right? That's not what I'm saying. There are some you have to admit. You admit to God and talk to Him, and that's it. But there are some that you too know that you have admitted to God a million times alone. Then you admit to someone that you trust that can pray with you concerning it and say, you know what? This is what is going on. And I want to open up. It is that level of vulnerability that leads to freedom. This doesn't just happen to individuals. This also happens to families and all that. There are families that are dealing with things and they keep it closed up until it explodes. No. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to just keep it hidden there. You know what happens to wounds, right? When you keep them and you hide them, you know what happens? You know, they continue to fester, right? Until they are exposed to fresh air. And then fresh air can heal it. And then the pus will come out. There is a freedom that comes just by admitting. Amen. In psychology, they call it catharsis. Catharsis. Catharsis is like a wound that is open and then the pus comes out. So just by talking alone, you can be free. Just by talking alone and being sincere. And you know, sincere people, listen, sincere people are protected. You know, I've seen it before that people that open up and say, you know, I have this weakness, you understand? And you know that, you know, that's a weakness that they have, you understand? Those people are more protected than those who say they don't have the weakness. They are more, you see them, God will work to keep them from those things because they are open and sincere. I don't know if you have ever, if you really understood what 1 John chapter 1 is talking about. Let's just talk to, turn to 1 John chapter 1. The 1 John chapter 1 is talking about the fact that if you are vulnerable before God, you will continually be cleansed. 1 John chapter 1. Let's start reading from verse 6. 1 John 1 from verse 6. And you could change from KJV now. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 6. It says, if we claim we have fellowship with him, so there's a claim that, oh, I'm good! You know? And yet walk in darkness. So we claim in church, you know, we claim we're Christians, we do all that, we do all, but we still walk in darkness, in the secret. Right? We walk in the darkness. We lie. And we do not live by the truth. And what sets free from last week? The truth, right? We do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Now, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does light do? Light what? Exposes. You see, when you are walking in darkness, you are covered up, right? Nobody sees it. But when you come into the light, you understand? It's exposed. What he's saying is that if we live a vulnerable life, an exposed life before him, God, you know the kind of person, you know what I've been through, you know where I was born, you know what happened to me, right? Lord, you know I have this tendency. I need your help. And even people around you know it. Your wife knows it. Your husband knows it. You know, I have this tendency. My wife knows my tendencies and she protects it. I know her tendency. Tendencies and protect her. We have guidelines because we know where we're coming from. So we do some things that people think we're crazy the way we do it. We have some strict rules. And if I begin to break the rule in a big way, my wife will come and challenge me with her eyes red. Talking about red eyes. And if she breaks the rule, I come with my eyes red. Red eyes. Because we need that much vulnerability to be protected. Some men in this place, you don't need to have any phone in, you know, any phone that has internet on it. You think, I mean, I'm not joking. You don't need to have it. You need to burn it. And get a flip phone. Pastor Omo told me, what did you do this week? He said, you cut off cable, right? He said, I'm just cutting it off. I mean, I cut off cable a long time ago. What are you doing with HBO? I mean, what are you doing with it? I used to have HBO, Momax, and all that when we were in Zion. You know those things they used to show in the night? No, I mean, this is real. Naked people, soft porn, and all that. Anytime I see anybody and I see HBO or Momax or anything in their house, I know that that's what they are feeding on. You cannot avoid it. I cannot deal with it myself. I'm telling you, if they have that, and they are showing, I will be tempted to go and look. It's time to be real. So, I don't deal with it. I don't need HBO. Or Max. Or what's the other one? Showtime, yes. No, seriously, you don't need it. It's one of those things that will hold you down and tie you up from fulfilling your destiny. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into heaven maimed than to go to hell whole. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. So there are many things like that, that we allow. So vulnerability is the fact that you know it, you admit it, that this is an issue. We all have issues. Amen. You will not be human if there's no issue. We live in a fallen world. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Do you know also that even when people begin to live in darkness, they cannot fellowship with other believers. The devil will be telling them that those believers, they don't really believe in you. Ah, those people are just judging me. No, you are the one judging yourself. You feel that you are not real. You feel that you are so fake that nobody will really believe in you. So the devil tells you don't believe in you, and you conclude that it's because they don't believe in you. And so you see somebody who is thinking about his own issues, who's just frowning because he's trying to live with his own issues. Say, why is his face like that? He must be thinking about me and all that. You are a grasshopper forcing your own eyes before you become a grasshopper in the eyes of the giant. It's what you think about yourself first. It's called the mirror principle. It's what you think about yourself first. People who live double lives don't feel comfortable in the presence of other believers. And after a while, they don't even feel comfortable in church because they live double lives. But this month, you are living double life. You are living a single focused life in the name of Jesus. We're becoming real. The same person everywhere. In secret, in the open, in church and out of church. Same person. That is what is called integrity. Everybody say integrity. Integrity. The word integrity is from the word integrated. Integrated means one. Someone say one. So integrity is somebody who acts the way he thinks in every situation. In other words, it's a life that is integrated, not a life that is like this here. You use your mouth to praise the Lord here, and then you use it, you get home and use it to curse your wife. To curse others. You use your eyes to look at beautiful things, and in fact, you are losing at negative things. This is not condemnation. This is what the freedom that God is giving us. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be what?
Freedom.
Deliverance and what? And holiness. So when we are vulnerable, we are more able to fellowship together and also with God. And automatically, there's a fountain of the blood. God never called us. He never said that any one of us that will get to a point where we will not make mistakes and sin and all that. But what he wants you to do, he wants you to be in a place of the light. You understand? Where you are vulnerable and open so that his blood continually washes you every day. The word cleanses there, purifies, is present continuous. So there's a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners plunge themselves and they are cleansed from their guilty stains. It's a fountain that continues to flow every day. Do you get it? So I don't have to keep going to God and say, God forgive me. Oh God forgive me. No. Oh no, no, no. I am open. This is who I am. This is it, Lord. But I thank you because of who I am in Christ. And I'm walking in that. And every day I'm continually cleansed. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, now what he's saying there is that if we are, you know, we're not, you know, we're walking in darkness and all that. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And when the truth is not there, there's no freedom. Because the truth is what? It's what set free. But this is the solution. Everybody read it together with me, verse 9. 1, 2, go. What is the only condition there from the if? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. To confess that if we admit and we're vulnerable before him and open, not hiding, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 54, and I'm going to round up now. We'll continue next week. Isaiah chapter 54. We're talking about steps to freedom. Amen. So I'm just mentioning the first step, which is being real, being vulnerable before God. Isaiah chapter 54. God is so merciful that if we are open, it doesn't matter how long you've been tied up, how long you've been involved in it. If you are open, it will it'll set you free. Are you there? Is that 54? Isaiah 55, 55 verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says, seek the Lord. Everybody say, seek the Lord. While he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Next verse. Let the wicked. The word wicked means twisted. Everybody say twisted. I don't know if you know the wick. You know the wick of a lamp, right? You know, it's twisted like that. So when you say wicked, it's talking about twisted. You know how your life, things are twisted in one way or the other. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Isn't that wonderful? All he's just telling us is to just forsake our own way of thinking, to turn to God, to turn to him, he will abundantly pardon us. Proverbs chapter 28. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting some word this morning? Proverbs 28. The beginning of freedom is the acknowledgement of the need for freedom. Proverbs 28 verse 13. He who covers or conceals his sins does not prosper. Does not what? Prosper. So you know that no matter how many blessings is proclaimed, no matter how many anointing, he who, and listen, I'm not talking about money because you can be making money. Prosperity is not just about money. You understand? There are many people who have money who are not prosperous. Prosperity is an all-encompassing progress and wholeness of life. That's what the Bible calls true prosperity. The Bible uses another word for it, shalom or peace. Prosperity is health. Prosperity is spiritual vitality. Prosperity is anointed children. Prosperity is posterity. In other words, transgenerational blessing. Prosperity is social. Prosperity is the ability to hear God and to be able to tap into, you know, the power of God to meet the needs that are in front of you. Prosperity is all around. Prosperity is freedom. It's being able to sleep at night. Somebody shout hallelujah. rested, relaxed, not afraid that somebody is chasing you. Prosperity is being able to go into God's presence without any sense of guilt or inferiority. Prosperity is living not afraid that there's a secret about you that is going to come out. Prosperity, that's prosperity. Amen. And then the money part comes with that too. Amen. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whosoever confesses, everybody say confesses. And so the first one is what? To confess. To confess. To confess. In other words, you open before God and say, Lord, this is it. And if you need to talk to somebody else, you talk to someone. You know, this is it. Sometimes you need that assistance. This is it. This is what is going on. And then the second one is what is called renunciation. Everybody say renunciation. So confession is opening up. Renunciation is another thing. Renunciation is saying, I disown you today. I cut myself off from you today. That's what it means to renounce. Last scripture. Romans chapter 12. Sorry. Acts chapter 20. Let me show you how people renounce, how you renounce sin. Because when I was saying, you know, cut off your cell phone, da, 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 people were saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. I know people who have done it before. I know a friend that went off Facebook. Said, I'm going off Facebook. I said, why are you going off Facebook? You know, I mean, Facebook is is a place I preach the gospel for me. But he told me, he said, I found myself looking at, looking around and trying to see, stuff. You know, I'm going to keep that. Amen. He says, so I'm going off. So I'm just going to go off. Amen. That's part of renunciation. That's, so in Acts chapter 20, because there's a Christianity that, we hear right now that is not what was delivered to us. Where people just think that because we have grace, we can live anyhow. No. The Bible says if a Christian lives anyhow, that Christian would die early. I'll show you that later. Say, except you judge yourself. We've got to get ourselves in order because there are consequences to this thing. Consequences that we don't even want to see. Last scripture. And you can rise up so that you can make sure it's last. Amen. Let's rise up on our feet and read it. Otherwise, another one will come again. Let's rise up. Acts 20. How do you renounce sin? All right, so actually it is Acts 19. Verse 18. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Many of those who believed now came, openly confessed their evil. That was a revival. Can you imagine? It was in Ephesus. People were coming forward and saying, this is the evil I used to do. The Holy Spirit is what makes something like that happen. I've been struggling with this, and this was the evil. They were openly confessing their evil deeds. And then that's confession, right? That's the first step, confession. They came and openly confessed their evil deeds, confession. Then the next one, verse 19. Is what renunciation looks like. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and they burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. What I mean is, the sex toy that you have inside your house. I'm preaching to you, to people in this church, that you have in your house that nobody knows. That's, I'm talking about you burning it. I'm talking about you throwing it away. You can bring it to church. We'll help you dispose of it.
The condoms that you hide from your wife, I'm talking about you disposing of it. Those magazines, you know something that you have, those of you single, you have it in, you know, some closet. I'm talking about you disposing of them. That's what I'm talking about. The subscriptions that you have to all those stupid channels that are defiling you and stopping you from being able to worship God and fulfill your destiny. Today you cut them off. That's what I'm talking about. You cut them off today. You don't waste time. You cut them off. All the things you subscribe to, defiling your mind. Renunciation means you cut them off. Because what you do not know is that, I'm talking about the music you have on your iPod and you have on your iPad that defile you. What you do not know is that everything that is produced comes with a spirit. Yes, yes. So whenever you subscribe to such things, you subscribe to the spirit also. And those spirits will continue to trouble you until you cut off your connection with them. It is time to be free and clean. It's time to clean our household up. It's time to clean our minds and our flesh. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Lift up your hands and just begin to talk to the Lord right now.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.